Hello, friends. I'm Luke, and I serve on the music team at Holy Family. We continue to hear stories from people like you who listen to the Holy Family podcast and consider Holy Family your church. And whether you're someone who's constantly on the go, hasn't found a church community where you live to which you can belong, or someone who's wondering about the shape of your faith, we are honored to be with you by sharing these reflections from our Sunday liturgies. We rely on the generosity of our congregation, which includes you wherever you listen, to help our ministry achieve and maintain financial health. If this podcast has been a gift to you, would you consider making a contribution so that we can continue offering resources that welcome questions, curiosities, and doubts? You can make a gift by following the link in our show notes. That's at holyfamilyhtx.org. From Holy Family HTX, an Episcopal church for people without a church, this is the Holy Family Podcast, a collection of ideas about leading a Jesus-centered life. We clearly explore the church's understandings while bringing our own questions, curiosities, and doubts, and we never demand fake agreement. Theological exploration is just better that way. So, let's take a moment of silence as we get ready to contemplate today's ideas.
I have loved you. I have said these things so my joy will be in you. I call you friends. I have made everything known to you. I chose you and appointed you. I give you these commandments. So these are the I statements of Jesus from the gospel reading for today. Jesus is talking to his disciples. It is Passover, the Last Supper. He has just finished washing everyone's feet, has settled back at the table, and begins a long talk with them. The Gospel of John has 21 chapters, and out of those 21, five of them describe the Last Supper and the talk that Jesus gives that night. Emotions are swirling that evening. The pressure has been mounting in Jesus' return to Jerusalem. And we know that within hours, Jesus will be arrested. But now, in this room, as Jesus is talking to his friends, there is a stillness and a tenderness within the center of the churning chaos of the narrative. Jesus tells his disciples, I am with you only a little longer. He is yearning to make them see and believe his love for them and his desire for them to love one another. And you can feel the disciples leaning in close, crowded around the table or seated and standing in different corners of the room, bunched in, gathering around. It's possible that in that room was Jesus and just the 12 disciples. But it's also possible that Mary and Martha of Bethany were there, and their brother Lazarus, whom Jesus raised from the dead, and Nicodemus, the Pharisee who came to visit Jesus at night, and the man born blind, and the woman caught in adultery. They all could have been there. Jesus' community included those people and many other men and women and children from all walks of life. People kept getting brought in, kept getting scooped up into that love. And the people who wrote this gospel down, this account of the Last Supper, were eager for others to know about it who weren't there. People like you and me. Jesus' last night walking on the earth, and he's saying goodbye to his people for five whole chapters. And this is what he so deeply desires for them to remember, for us to remember. The first three, I have loved you. I have said these things so that my joy will be in you. I call you friends. Jesus cannot express often enough his love for his people. In this, we see his humanity. Many of us would have that desire. If I knew I were going to die tomorrow, I might need to simply spend the next 24 hours telling people I love them. This desire to communicate love also shows Jesus' divinity. Jesus longs for us to know that he loves us because he longs for us to know who he is. And who he is love. God is love. Love is from God, as our epistle reading from last week told us. Love flows from the Father to the Son, and then to us, and then from us, thereby uniting all creation in the love that is God. This is God's dream, and it is God's identity. Three more statements of Jesus from that night. I have made everything known to you. I chose you and appointed you. I give you these commandments. Jesus wants his disciples, those there that night, and us today, not only to know of this love for us, but of his inclusion of us in that mission of love. Jesus is entrusting us with a job, basically, the responsibility of participating in God's desire to bring the world deeper into God's love. Jesus says, you did not choose me, I chose you. And there is a stunning trust here. Outside of anything we have earned, Jesus chooses us, appoints us to be a part of what he is up to in the cosmos. It seems to me like God might find some better candidates for bringing about God's dream for the world, given humanity's track record. Stick with the angels, maybe. But I didn't make this choice. We didn't make this choice. Also, this is not Jesus' suggestion for those whom he loves. It is a command. Jesus appoints us to enact the love that he lavishly gifts to us. So Jesus gives us commandments, and he tells us why. So that we will remain in his love, and so that his joy will be in us, making our joy complete. I love this passage's endless Russian doll setup. You have the Father's love, and inside that is Jesus. And inside Jesus' love is us. And inside us is Jesus' joy, making our joy complete. What Jesus is talking about is the work of humanity being gathered up into the divine life. And Jesus' role in that and our role in that. It's this constant ingathering that we are being beckoned toward via the conduit of Jesus' love. So Jesus gives us these commandments. And here they are, at least from the excerpt that we got to read today. Remain in my love. Stay put. Love each other as I have loved you. Go and produce fruit that will last. It's here in this passage that we get to hear the verse. Our translation has it, no one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. Jesus, who will give up his life for them and for us, and who has just told his disciples that he calls them friends, is talking about how his love, staggeringly large, engulfs everything else there is. This is the love that leads him to accept the cross and the love that compels his resurrection. So yes, that's what that is about. And right after he talks about giving up one's life for one's friends, he says, "This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you." So clearly he's asking them, he's asking us to step up to this towering love and try to summon something like that love for each other. I used to hear that verse and think that maybe this part of the Bible actually probably applied to somebody else besides me. People who are extra brave, or people who are in movie-type situations where they actually have the horrible opportunity to die in order to save someone's life, which hasn't happened to me yet. But instead of looking past this part, I'm looking closer now, like really close. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. Another translation is, no one has greater love than to lay down one's soul for one's friends. So this word, lay down, really means pretty much that everywhere else in the Bible. Like placing something somewhere. It's used when talking about placing a lamp on a lampstand, placing a paralyzed man in front of Jesus, Jesus placing his hands on children and blessing them, placing Jesus' body in the tomb, laying Jesus' body in the tomb. This word is also used again in our passage for today, in the part that's translated as a point, when Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you," or placed you to go bear fruit. And the word that gets translated as life, lay down one's life for one's friends, does often mean life in the Bible as we think of it, like aliveness, livingness, as opposed to deadness. But it also means soul. Like, you shall love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and with all your mind. Or when Mary sings, "My soul magnifies the Lord." This word, it's like the true inner being of who you are. So Jesus certainly gave up his life for his friends and his willingness to be crucified. But he also continually gave his true inner being to many, while teaching and feasting and healing in Galilee and Judea. He placed his true inner being down in front of each person he healed, each person he taught, each person he fed, each person he ate and drank with. When he's talking about laying down your life, Jesus isn't asking us to simply make the one right choice in that climactic moral moment where we find ourselves at the entrance to Smaug's lair, the dragon, or seeking the soul stone, or staring Voldemort in the face, or whatever that one dramatic moment is. He's not just talking about one grand moral gesture at the end of life. He's telling us that where we place our lives matters. Where we lay down our souls matters. That the small ways we daily lay down and pick up our lives for one another matters. Annie Dillard wrote, "How we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. What we do with this hour and that one is what we are doing." In other words, where we lay down our days is, of course, where we lay down our lives. In what small daily ways are we responding to Jesus' love? To being called a friend by the Savior of the universe? In what ways of speaking or noticing or consuming or relating are we saying yes to Jesus' commandment to love one another? What are the habits of daily life that enact Jesus' trust in us to participate in his cosmic ingathering of all creation? What are the accumulations of living that end up bearing fruit and fruit that will last? In other words, how do we love?
You can find more resources to help you lead a Jesus-centered life at holyfamilyhtx.org. Again, it's holyfamilyhtx.org.